You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, and yet again, I keep saying this old corny phrase, thank goodness it has closed its doors, because it was a really, really bad day on the JSC. Here to describe the action, Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital, and this is the 5 o'clock shadow. Greg, carnage.
Really, really bad, Lindsay. I mean, there's a perception that us brokers are sitting, drink tea all day and don't really work. But today was one of those days where you felt like you were phoning clients, putting out fires, new stories coming, big swings in the market. It's just exhausting the pace of change that's happening here.
Okay, let's paint a picture here. We've got the Rand at 1540, which is remarkably stable given the risk-off environment.
It should be 18 with the way we're trading here.
Well, there's a chap called Dave Hazelwood who says he'll eat his hat if the Rand isn't 20 to the US dollar by the end of the year, but we'll get to that in subsequent broadcasts. But anyway, British pound against the Rand, 1858. The Euro Rand, 1716. The Euro dollar, 111.43. The dollar, a quarter of a percent stronger against the mighty European currency. The gold price, on the other hand, ignoring that, is up $17 to $15, $18 per ounce. The platinum price is down 8 to 847. And the palladium price, over to you, Greg.
Yeah, down $24, 1431. Not really breaking out of range either way, so a little bit of a pullback.
Okay, let me have a look at the S&P quickly. I've been watching this with a good deal of fascination all afternoon. It's off its lows, but still down 2.3%. The Dow Jones down 577 points. NASDAQ down 2.4% at the moment. These are big, big moves, Greg. Oh, okay, look at the backdrop. I was just talking to Wayne McCurry, and I said to him, yeah, you know what? Look at the last 10 and a half years and talk to your grandchildren about it. And they'll say, what was that little blip there, Grandpa? And he'll say, well, it was August in 2019. Just a tiny blip. We get a little bit too caught up, but I still have to say that a 2% to 2.5% fall in the major US indexes is quite significant, Greg.
Yeah, and it's interesting because this morning we came in slightly puzzled. We were speaking on the opening pod. We felt like our market should have been a lot stronger on the back of the Dow. But as you pointed out then, I think it's quite insightful. That rally in the Dow yesterday wasn't that convincing. It was a short covering rally, but that's nothing to build a recovery in the markets on. You know, a bit of a reshuffling of the deck chairs in the tariff war, but it's nothing fundamentally had shifted. And the market, probably some short covering, pushed it a little bit higher. Nobody wanted to be short. But there was just no follow through. I'm sure you and Wayne were speaking about the yield curve inversion and so on.
Yes.
And all of these types of things sound a hell of a scary, but they do put pressure on equity markets.
Have a listen to The Asset Class, which is an interview I conducted with Joanne Bainham from Miton Optimal, and she was talking about the inversion of the yield curve. The yield curve was inverted late last year, and everyone said, well, it means recession, and then it uninverted itself, if that's the correct phrase. But now it's done it again, and I think the second time is more impactful this time, if you see what I mean.
Yes, we've all been warned here, and the market is the Dow has pulled back from its highs, but it's still only probably 4% away from those highs. So there is potential for a lot of work on the downside. I don't mean to be doom and gloom, but I'm just getting that 2008 feeling, and I was ringing up old stock brokers for advice, which we always do at times like this. And I spoke to a lady that was a partner at Merrill Lynch for many years. And she brought out an old saying that they say, and she said, in a bear market, they take them outside and shoot them one by one. And you've had your Discoveries, your Aspens, your Sasol. It's almost as if every day or every second day there's a blue chip stock, which is a pillar of the market, that's getting really, really bashed lower. And it's relentless.
Well, let's have a talk about that now, actually, because it's quite interesting. And I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist or to be a purveyor of doom and gloom, Greg, but we've had Discovery and Aspen recently. I mean, I was looking at the Aspen share performance on sharenet.co.za, and I think it was 5 years ago, it was 443 Rand per share. And today, just below 70. That is unbelievable for a major South African company that has been, as I keep on saying, a darling of the exchange. It's gone from 443 to 70 Rand per share. And Discovery was 2 years ago, 190 rand per share, and it's now almost halved. It's closed at just about 100 rand a share. How has this happened?
But I mean, it's not, I mean, the numbers aren't as, but if you take the billions of rand which are wiped out, if an aspirin goes from north of 400 down to 70, that's almost on the magnitude of a spin-off. And it hasn't become a penny stock yet. But the damage which it's doing to long-term investors, to people's portfolios, to people's faith in the market, you know, you're getting more and more than to speak about it with you and David yesterday. Clients are saying, I've had enough. They put me into cash and ring me when things are looking a bit better.
Yeah. Does it also call into question the asset management industry? Or does it call into question the boardroom ethics of the South African company? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a combination of both. And maybe it's a combination of people like yourself in the financial services industry, because you fall for it, and therefore your day traders buy it and sell it, etc., but go with the momentum. Someone's got it wrong somewhere.
Yes, and I mean, that's often the case when your markets have days like today, and in a month like we've had so far. I think for the month we're probably down 5%, could even be more. But then we start to introspect and say, where are we going wrong here? As a financial advisors, we tend to go, management misled us on this trade, and debt was a little bit bigger than me. But, you know, all these things make a cocktail of a disaster, and everybody's got to have a sip, really, I suppose.
Yeah, well, it's very good that you say that everyone got it wrong, but everyone has got it wrong. Obviously, the South African economy is out of our hands. That's to do with the politicians, those people in their ivory towers that sit down and quite honestly have done absolutely nothing. But on the other hand, there's also ways that you can, I suppose, mitigate the economic circumstances. The problem with South Africa is that the mitigation of economic circumstances in the domestic market has been to go overseas and overpay for assets and pay for too many assets.
Yes, and then, I mean, you get the great Magnus Haystack, and he's been beating the drum, showing to investors it's time to get as much money as you can, you know, legally and so on, out of the country and invest in shares offshore. I mean, global markets are selling off today, but overall, that probably hasn't been the worst advice, and he's become quite unpopular for giving that advice. It does make our jobs a little bit more difficult when clients are asking, well, why don't we go with Magnus? You would still think that the PIC and a lot of the major institutions should still be buying our stocks, but doesn't feel like it.
No, it doesn't. Greg, let's have a look at the big movers on the upside and the downside today. Do you find it a bit depressing sometimes, Greg? I mean, you're normally an upbeat sort of chap, but are you finding yourself a bit depressed with Aspen down 6.7% at 69.55 when somebody bought it at 443 a couple of years ago?
Yeah, it is. It is. And I'm finding with clients, you know, happily to take your call, what have you, suddenly they're not answering the phone. And now you're phoning to possibly give them more bad news. And that this has dampened the market's mood. Everyone's feeling, you know, the day traders, but, you know, investment managers you speak to, everyone's feeling, you know, fed up and also really, really confused. You know, where do we go to from here?
Sasol's share price, incidentally, was 5 years ago, 642 rand and 72 cents. 3 years ago, it was 578 rand and 68 cents, as it was 2 years ago, as it was 1 year ago. 1 year ago, the Sasol share price was 578 rand and 68 cents. Where did it close today, Greg?
Yes, I mean, it closed at around, you see it on the list here, 277 rand 91.
So it's half.
Yes. For me, the low point in the market in that 2008-2009 crash was when Sasol hit 200. I happen to remember the date of March 12 because my daughter was born that day. Bought her some Sasol shares, which she still got, but she's not going to be that happy. I didn't sell them at 500 odd.
That's extraordinary. 277 Rand 91. It's more than half.
2008 lows.
In 2 years.
A lot of these shares are revisiting the 2008-9 crash sort of levels. It's only 70 rand, and we've given up the last 10 years' work on Sasol. Would have come to naught if you're sitting with it.
Let's start with the positives, though, because we have on the positive side today. I'll give you the list of the companies: Goldfields, Harmony, AngloGold, Sibanye, and then after that, a booze company called Distill, because people are obviously drinking themselves to death because of the because of the bear market. But Goldfields up nearly 7%, Harmony up 6 2/3%, AngloGold Ashanti up 6%, Sibanye a 4.2% winner, and that was under the whip this morning, Sibanye, I think.
Sure, it was a tough night for the gold bulls, and especially a tough afternoon yesterday. A lot of these stocks, would I think, their Gold Index finished down 10%. A lot of them, I think, Goldfields actually went into a volatility auction down 15%. It did bounce off those levels, but for those who held their nerves, a nice bounce back in the golds. And you know, gold shares are for trading, and all these old traders will tell you it's a bull market, but there are going to be pullbacks. Have cash ready, buy the dips. So you could have even this morning, could have got Sibanye at R18.70, finished today R19.89. So a 4% gain for that one. And then, you know, some of the other golds, 6-7% better. But mostly that's retracing half of what they lost yesterday. Gold price has gone better. And the rand's also weakened again to almost the worst levels of prior to yesterday's pullback.
We had a set of results out from Curo Holdings Limited. What did it do?
Yeah, Mr. The market was quite bearish on those numbers, but the share price didn't perform too badly, up 6.8%. So it closed at R17.80. But yeah, the commentary that I was reading were relatively negative. I'm actually quickly, because you can hear I'm stalling. I'm just pulling up a chart.
Okay.
And if you go back to February of 2018, it was around R37, finished today at R17.80. And quite a lot of that fall's taken from around 22 down to 70 is taken the last month. So I've been saying it for some time, and you know, you know, this whole PSG stable is starting to look a little bit rickety at the moment.
Exxaro came out with a trading statement, and the share price fell by 5.75%, Greg.
No, I thought it was...
That was 8 o'clock this morning. We did speak about it. But I suppose it's iron ore price and a general world economic predictions.
Everything was clattered. Hmm. But look at the resource index, it was down 1.1%. That's quite a big move, 5.7% on Exxaro. So market not liking that.
Metair, the other one that came out with the results, I think flat on the day, which is actually an outperformance.
Yeah, a solid performance. Finished the day at R22.47. It did have a trading update a day or two ago, so the market was more or less informed of where these numbers were.
Okay, so we've done the upside. Now let's have to go. We have to go to the downside. Kumba Iron Ore. Down 8.5% to 414. Let's call it 415. Aspen down 666. That's a rather nasty number. Exxaro down 5.75%. Sasol down 5.25%. And Anglo American PLC down 4.5%. Everything that's linked to the global economy not doing so well at the moment.
Yeah, the Kumba is 30 rand dividend, and I think it fell by 38. Mm. Anglo American, something similar. So I think a lot of people hang on for these dividends, and then, you know, I think all will get out at the same price, and then the share price then falls more than the dividend. In this case, Anglo paid an 8 rand dividend and fell by 15 rand. But as you say, the market did a lot of work on the downside today.
Yes, indeed. Give us the closing JSE indices, please.
All right. Pull your drinks closer.
Okay, here we go.
Banks down 2.45. Financials down 1.9. Industrials down 1.97. We haven't spoken about nice pass, but we must.
Yeah, we must.
Retailers down 1.98. The gold index, UBUT, up 5.75%. Mm-hmm. Platinum's up 0.75%. The resources down 1.19. That left the all share down 2.1%. 1,163 points lower. 54,029. I mean, talking about holding on to 55 a day or so ago, now we'd be lucky to hold on to 54.
Actually, it was yesterday when you said, let's hope it holds on to 50. When you say a day or so ago, it was yesterday, Greg.
Okay, well, I hope we can hold on to 54.
Yeah.
The value of trade, 23.3 billion. So we have to be a little bit positive, and if we can point at anything positive.
It can't be positive. It's because on the downside, if the volume is big, then that's bad news. You should say, oh, Lindsay, it was only 11.2 billion today. So that's good news. So the sellers were enticed by bids that were lower than they should have been. But no, there's been some massive volume today on a downside day, which is significant.
Yes, you're quite right. It's distressed selling. It's not the type of 23 billion day where you have a mixed market or a slightly firmer market or a couple of positive trading updates and the market does big volume on that. This is panic selling. Been reading a few stories on Bloomberg. Foreign investors are offloading, and did notice in the closing auction some big lines of stock in some of the big industrial counters. NASPAS, I mean,
let's talk about that value, now.
Yeah, value of trade there, 5.7 billion. That's one of the biggest I've seen in NASPAS for some time. The share price falling nearly, well, just on 4%, 138 Rand lower, 3,354. So this is one of those where you phone the clients and they know they're long NASPAS and they don't take your call.
Greg, just give us the price history on NASPAS, if you would, just the recent price history, say for 2019. Can you do that quickly?
Yes.
Because 4% sounds like a lot, but it probably in the big scheme of things, again, it's just a blip on a chart.
Yeah, I mean, it's got an interesting pattern because for a long time it was holding around 347 and it pulled back. I don't know if it's sort of in October of last year, yes, back to 2,300. So we've recovered. 3,354 is a long way off that, but I think the all-time high was about 4,100. I keep in mind, NASPAS is about 20 or 22% of the all-share index. So if someone wants to track the index and they give you 100,000 Rand, you have to put 22,000 of it into NASPAS. And so with a move like this, everybody's probably lost money to that. Perhaps some people, clever guys, shorted it. Tencent had results which came out at 11 o'clock, and it was interesting because the market at first took the share higher, and then as the afternoon grinded on, it just got lower and lower. Some talk about the revenue number that was a little bit disappointing, but at a first glance, it looked decent, and then I think as you drill down to the numbers, it was looking a little bit light. Plus, you've got all those tensions in Hong Kong, which is certainly not helping sentiment towards the region.
2 years ago, the NASPAS share price was 4,090, Greg. And also, 1 year ago,
that the share must be close to the all-time high.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that was the all-time high. I mean, it's a closing price, of course. And the low on NASPAS was 1 year ago, which was 2,370. So in 1 year, it went from a two-year high of 4,090 down to a low of 2,370 1 year ago. This is according to sharenet.co.za.
Yes.
And
I remember it well, because at the time, the share was under a lot of pressure and there was a lot of rumors going around the market that there would be some sort of rebalance of the index, because it's not ideal to have one counter so heavily weighted in the index. There was some feeling that MSCI would rebalance the index. That would cause the JSE. So less people would have to own NASPAS shares. And the share price fell quite sharply, sort of with that cloud hanging over it, which in the end didn't materialize. But I do know someone who, at the end of October last year, was the last day he's ever going to trade.
What's his name?
I can't say.
Please do.
That was a career-ending session for NASPAS, really.
Greg, what are we looking forward to now? We've got the S&P flirting with down 70 points. Let me just quickly update you on exactly what's happening live from Chicago. Ooh, on its lows. 2.5% lower, down 73 points. And the Dow Jones down 630 points at the moment. This is quite big stuff.
You know, I was saying to some old market pundits, and some of them were saying, we forget, but they were saying August traditionally, and we don't notice it, we always think of October, but you're saying August has, over the years, been a very, very difficult month to trade. A lot of people in the U.S. are on their summer breaks. Big fund managers aren't watching the desk. They've probably got some youngsters, keeping an eye on things, and had or that doesn't normally bode too well, but the markets normally start to pick up when people get back after Labor Day in September. But for now, we're in choppy waters.
New lows, the S&P down 2.6% now at 2856.12. That's the S&P futures new lows. The recent low has been 2776, so we're still 80 points off that. But anyway, very, very difficult times. Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.